Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Monday Night Raw post-show, coming to you live from MegaPowersRadio.com. I am your host for tonight, Tony Mango. Mike Payton is out sick, wishing him well. Joining me on this panel is Steven Wago. What's up, Wago?
I'm good. Mike's actually dead.
Yeah, I was going to save that for the end, you know, the little twist at the end. WWE likes to do that. I like to do it, but okay, we just ruined it. Maybe at the end he'll get another twist and he'll come back to life. Undertaker's big right now, right?
Yeah, maybe he'll come back and we just won't address it like we did with something else.
25 years of Mike Payton's death, we'll celebrate a couple of years from now. That's terrible. No, Mike will be fine. He has had some issues. He's in the hospital right now, but he will be back. And, you know, he wishes everybody well and all that other kind of stuff. So not only is it going to be me and Wago tonight, we also have you guys, because this is the most interactive WWE Raw experience out there on the web, and we want to let you voice your opinions about what happened on tonight's episode. You can do that by calling in and talking with us in several different ways. First, if you're calling from your phone, our two numbers are 760-512-7247, and the other one, that for some reason still works for us, 713-955-0363. Also, you can reach us by calling in through Skype, or you can just go ahead and talk it up in the chat room that we have going on. We got a couple people in there right now, usual suspects. We got Kaylin Ferris, we've got Silent Wind of Doom, and we've got Wazili. What's up, guys? How y'all doing tonight? I gotta say, you know what's weird, though? Not many people in the chat, not many people in the Megamaniacs group. Not a whole lot of people buzzing about Raw tonight, and I don't know if that's just Raw or last night's pay-per-view. What do you think, Wago?
Well, as far as that goes, I think a lot of people were butthurt about last night, and I'm not quite sure why. I thought Survivor Series, for what it was a very good show. A lot of good wrestling on it. But I think people let the ending of Sheamus walking out champion ruin the entire pay-per-view for them. I saw plenty of people complaining about it, and most of it was people wanted Ambrose to win.
Yeah,
and I think he was kind of silly if you thought that was going to happen. I took a gamble in our prediction saying Ambrose would win, but it was always likely to be Roman Reigns. And Raw didn't really, any fans that did transition over to the next night, they lost pretty early on, I think, because tonight was just a clusterfuck of segments. It was hey, Mid-Carter. We're kind of fucked, so you're important again. Now try
really
and
was
be
like the theme
and
of the night.
Try and be relevant, okay?
So I mean, nonetheless, not a whole lot of people buzzing about it and stuff. But if you do have something to say, we invite you guys to get your thoughts out there. We're gonna be opening up the phone lines in a little bit, so sit tight, keep it tight for Daddy and your Uncle Big E. Stay on the line for now, and we're gonna get some other things out of the way. So let's just get the ball rolling here. Wago, what's your overall takeaway from tonight's episode? Is it that idea of the mid-cards taking over, or is there something else that stood out even more?
Mid-cards taking over, but it's a bigger picture than that. It's the fact that WWE is in panic mode right now. They've lost their top guys, and then you've got your guys like Cesaro, who they typically lean on in that scenario. Now he's gone. Guys just keep dropping like flies, and they're not sure what to do. Because they focus on only making a select few guys relevant, and the rest of their mid-card just flounders. And then you're dragging Heath Slater out there trying to make him entertaining. You're dragging fucking Titus O'Neil into a segment with Stardust. Like, there was just so much random bullshit tonight, and WWE being in a panic is what I notice the most.
I can see that too, and in a way, it's good because we can see some different people and stuff. But in another way, I'm missing a lot of these other people. I miss John Cena. I miss Seth Rollins a lot. I even miss Cesaro already, and it's been like no time at all since seeing him. It's weird. I guess that's why a lot of people are just not feeling it. They look at it like a lot of their favorites. They're not there. We knew that Undertaker wasn't going to be a part of the night because Undertaker usually isn't. So, I mean, even when it comes to the Survivor Series people, a lot of them aren't really going to be big. So, blah. Come on, WWE, do
Yeah,
better.
lack of star power, and they've got to try and like muster some together. They're already trying to establish a stable out of guys that have been job guys for the majority of the year.
By the way, you brought up star power. I'm going to jump ahead here just to get this out of the way so I don't forget about it. Can we please call the Stardust and the Ascension stable star power? They don't have a
Why?
fucking name that they stick with yet. They went by the Astral Alliance for like a week.
I think they're the Cosmic Wasteland now. I think that's the way it's been for a while.
They still don't refer to them as that, and it's still like the graphic on the screen says Stardust and the Ascension. It bugs the shit out of me. And tonight I was thinking lack of star power. If you called them star power, maybe it'll help make a difference. I don't know. But I got a little message here from Silent Wind of Doom in the chat. He says, I finally saw Spectre on Saturday. Can I call in and voice my criticisms of it? Hey, if we get to the point where we can't talk that much about Raw, then go ahead. But it's more of a fanboy's thing. So.
With that said, there's a good chance that's going to happen because this role did not do much for me.
Yeah, I mean, I got notes for every little thing here. There's at least something that stood out, but some of those really just the thing that stood out was that nothing stood out, oddly enough. But we started off the night with an Authority promo. You know, spoiler alert, if you didn't see that one coming. Sheamus gloats, you know, he says, who looks stupid now? Roman Reigns says his typical, I've got my rematch clause, and then we get the usual response of, yeah, but not tonight. You're getting it at TLC. But hey, Rusev is back. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm actually I used to hate Rusev, but over time he won me over. And just about that time, that's when they pulled the plug on him. So I'm glad to see him get some attention now. I'm wondering if they're gonna pair him back up with Lana. Not sure. But they've got this whole little stable of upper mid-carders going, and it's kind of nice seeing Rusev get rushed back up to that level that he was once at. Hopefully they can stick with it and make him relevant, and maybe when everyone comes back, he actually sticks around at the top this time.
Well, this is going to be something that we're going to talk a little bit more about in our hot tags on the next episode of Smack Talk, but Lana's got a lot of heat on her right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they keep her away from Rusev. Rusev's got his little trio that's going on now. That's enough, you know?
What the fuck did she do?
She got into a bunch of Twitter arguments with Paige. Like, and
Okay.
it's not like kayfabe, it's like they actually don't like each other, apparently. So, you know.
Doesn't surprise me. Paige is a fucking bitch.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about her later on, 'cause goddamn. But Rusev making his return, that led us to the match that was announced at the end of the night. It was Roman Reigns versus Rusev. That was our main event. Sheamus accompanied him to the ring, gets thrown out of the ring. Well, not thrown out of the ring, thrown out of ringside area. And that main reason why this is happening is because Roman Reigns is gonna get his title shot at TLC. So, two things that I'm curious, I want to get your point of view about it. Number one, is it the right choice for Reigns to be facing Sheamus this early at TLC instead of dragging it out? And number two, is Rusev just going to be a jobber to help support Sheamus?
Well, as far as the timing of his title rematch, I'm fine with it. They've established this whole, oh, everybody gets a fucking title rematch if they were champion. Fucking hate that rule. I think you should always have to earn the spot. So, since they've set that precedent, I'm fine with it. But I'm hoping that because they're doing it as early as they are, they're gonna end this feud at TLC. Let's face it, Sheamus versus Roman Reigns is not a 2 month feud.
Well, I mean, that could always just mean that it ends at TLC, but Roman doesn't get the belt back.
True, because they do seem like they're setting up Triple H versus Roman Reigns with that opening promo. They were getting. So I think that's going to be your big WrestleMania match. So I could see Sheamus holding onto the belt and then dropping it to somebody else. Maybe a John Cena. You never know.
Oh, man, I don't want to see this. I don't want to
Yeah.
see Sheamus and Cena.
Like, just think about how probable that is. Cena's going to be coming back pretty soon. Yeah, it's gonna happen, isn't it?
Damn it. I'm still holding out hope that if they do have Sheamus going into WrestleMania, that it'll be Dean Ambrose. I mean, now that they're kind of
I don't think Sheamus goes to Mania, dude. Like, I really think he drops it really fucking soon.
I hope to God you're right. I don't want to see him building up for the next 5 months.
I think he's just, because of how shuffled the deck is right now, I think they just did it to shake things up a little more and buy themselves some time. They don't trust him to hold the fucking belt at Mania, dude.
I don't know. I mean, they have trusted him before in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And look what he did.
Let's see. We got a caller on the line. I'm going to take them real quick because why not, right?
So, I guess.
Caller from 407 area code. What's up?
Hello?
Hello. What's your name?
Hello. Hi. This is actually Cliff Clufton over in Orlando, Florida.
What's going on? What do you think about
How
you
wrong? Doing, Powers? That's good, man. This is all the piano, man. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
yeah, we get that. You didn't trick us this time.
Yeah, what's up, APM?
Not much, man. I'm actually really just listening to the show. I really didn't watch Raw. But I'm actually outside running right now.
Oh, yeah, we could tell.
Well, what did you think about Survivor Series while we got you on the line?
I actually did catch it last night. It was actually fun. I agree with you guys from the post show. There was a huge gap of like entertainment in between the title tournament, but all the title tournament stuff was fun.
Now, are you okay with Sheamus as the champion, or do you think that that's going to be a bore like I do?
No, I mean it showed tonight. I mean I saw some results as well too. Sheamus looked really weak tonight.
Very, very weak. That's actually like one of my kind of nitpick points. As much as I don't like Sheamus, they should have done a better job of making him look halfway decent.
Yeah, Lewis looked like a champion, but right now, yeah, like you said, he looked like a chump. He was, I mean, he lost to the, in the, or he wasn't the, he was the last guy to be eliminated in the Survivor Series match last night. He looked weak against Roman. He hid behind Triple H, and now it's like tonight he even got sent away by the referee. That's really weak.
Well, then again, we were talking before we started this. Maybe that wasn't so much to make Sheamus look weak or Roman look strong. Maybe they're just really building up that chair.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that I saw some highlights as well too. That I saw some really loud chants. I don't know if it was edited on YouTube, but were the crowds really chanting Roman?
Yeah, they were really into him in that opening promo.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice change of pace, because yeah, last night's crowd were a fucking bunch of assholes.
Yeah, it went from Roman Reigns being the person who's booed, and it's only Peyton and I cheering for him at Royal Rumble, to the whole crowd getting into him. So I can't fault WWE for that. They made a good decision to get people on his side, but, you know.
It might be the right decision then from last night, but you know, I mean, if he's going to go for the championship at in Orlando at the Royal Rumble, I will be the only one cheering him then. I don't care. I'm all for him too as well. I see him as a really hard worker. I don't see anything wrong with him at all. So,
well, they're actually quite smart. How do you get people to cheer for Roman Reigns? You put him against the one guy that nobody can fucking stand.
That's true. Like, Seth is actually somewhat even, like, tolerable. He's actually, people actually cheer behind him. He's actually decent in the ring. Or actually, not even decent, he's really good in the ring. But you have Sheamus, that's just an old veteran that he's more of an upper mid-card guy. It's just like, I can't watch him.
So, any thoughts you want to throw out here before I put you on mute? Because I'm assuming you want me to put you on mute here so you can keep listening, right?
No, you guys are awesome, and thanks for taking my call. Even though I really didn't want to say anything.
Well, you did get Silo into Doom telling you in the chat here that your Cliff Clefton is the bomb diggity. So, it's worth it, right?
Yeah, if you don't bring the calls to us, we bring the calls to you.
Especially if you have Meatball Parms and Steel Drums.
That works. You could do that, man.
All right, APM. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All righty. One of our favorite callers, good old Rob. So we do have another caller here from 540. Let's go ahead and take that call. 540, what's your name, where are you calling from, and what department do you work for?
Hi, yes, I work for the FBI. I'm running a thorough investigation on what's been happening recently on the Megapowers.
Tony, what's it Fergal?
Fergal Devitt investigation?
Oh, a Fergal Devitt investigation. That sounds awesome.
Is it why Finn Balor wasn't at Survivor Series? Because I really want to know that.
Yeah. You got nothing?
All right, I guess that's it. That's what we established.
Go bye-bye.
Yeah, we established quite a bit there, I guess. Yeah. All right, thanks for calling in, Fergal Devitt investigator, whatever. let's just keep this moving on here. Our second match of the night, or our second segment, I should say, was the Dudley Boyz against the Wyatt family. Dudley Boyz lose. Wyatt family's got to get some kind of a win. You know, they just lost last night against the Brothers of Destruction. So, I mean, I called that these teams would be feuding with each other weeks ago. I knew that this was going to happen around this time. So I'm not too surprised, but...
Were you taken off guard that it was Bray and Luke?
That surprised me, yeah. I figured this was a guaranteed Rowan and Harper.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too. I think this match, I don't think this is going to necessarily be a feud. I think it might just be one match just to make Bray look strong after Survivor Series. But man, Dudley Boyz have fallen, huh? It was like, oh man, Dudley Boyz are back. They're going to be tag team champions. They're going to get that 10th reign. It's going to be so awesome. We're going to have this nostalgia trip, and they're gone.
Well, they do say that they want to have some kind of a TLC match when it comes to WrestleMania. And they also said in that same interview that the three people, or not the three people, the two other tag teams that they would want to be going up against are the New Day and the Usos. So maybe that's in the works. I don't know. I mean, WWE could have told them, like, you know, we're thinking about doing some kind of a big tag match at WrestleMania and stuff. And it might actually end up being one of those things where, like, Dudley Boyz and the Wyatt family feud for TLC and Royal Rumble. Then we start getting into that weird range where, like, around Fastlane, it seems like everybody sort of starts feuding with each other. Like, everybody. You know what I mean? So maybe this will be, like, Dudley Blues. Those old Dudley Blues. And the Wyatt family, they end up, like, kind of merging in with a couple other tag teams. We get some big multi-man tag matches. Gonna happen eventually, you know what I mean? Would you be up for that kind of a thing, like Dudley Boyz keeping this Wyatt family thing going a little bit further?
If the Dudley Boyz don't get squashed every time, I actually want to see them competitive. I think they're a really fun act and easily the best tag team in the company. Like, I like the New Day, but I find the Dudley Boyz far more entertaining.
So we got 540 back on the line here. 440, what's up with that Fergal Devitt investigation?
Tart.
Yes, I've been running a thorough investigation on Mr. Jeff, the old caller who used to call down at your show.
Oh, did you figure out if he's a fat douche?
The welfare again. It seems like he's been trying to call here tonight, and it looks like he wants to make a Julius threat again here tonight. Is that correct?
No, I don't think Jeff's been calling in. Just a fat douche.
Yeah, funny move, bastard. It's me.
Oh, yeah, fat
it's
douche.
DDP.
Fat douche.
How's it going?
Fat douche. Alone in the world with a little fat douche.
I got someone here that wants to speak with you, too. So you guys better hold on 1 minute. She's going to tell you
fat
what she
douche.
Thinks of you guys, okay?
Fat douche. No one cares what you're saying.
I'm waiting.
You got 1 minute.
What are those?
Ah, thanks for that. you got that Mr. Garrison clip on hand?
What one was that one? All right, I got it. I got it here, just in case.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, baby.
Hi.
Are you all there?
What's up, girl?
Are you there?
What's up, baby girl?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Guess what, boys? This is my girlfriend. Oh, she has something cool to say to you.
Oh, that's cute. You got your fucking
You're
sister.
Gene, you guys better listen to what my girlfriend has to say to you.
Okay, I want to hear this. Come on.
You guys are a bunch of jackasses.
I love how she's laughing.
Yeah.
Can you call in instead
good
of Jeff?
Move,
yeah, like you sound a lot. You sound a lot cooler than this.
Good move.
Fair douche.
And you know what?
Fair
I
douche.
Have another friend that would like to call you.
A little fair douche.
Whiskey, are we?
We got two of them.
Oh wow.
Do you know that he's cheating on you with another girlfriend?
One for each man, boob. Are they giving you like pity sucks? Hello? Fat douche.
Hello?
Is this the other one or is
Listen
this the first
to
one?
This, man. Excuse me? Listen to this, man.
Does she even know who you are?
Yeah, she knows who I am. I'm her girl. She's
You're
his
Somebody said Tony.
I'm pretty sure I should end this before this gets kind of crazier. I can keep going, but...
I think the people want this. Let's let it roll. This roll fucking sucked. This is probably better.
My girlfriend just told you guys can go straight to hell.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I like her so much better.
Yeah, she's so much cooler than you.
Hey, that's my girlfriend, you pieces of crap. And you're not going to take her away from me. She's mine. Ain't that right, babe?
Jeff's girlfriend, we want to offer you a spot calling in every week.
Yeah, you want your own weekly segment?
It could be Ask Jeff's Girlfriend. But we don't know which one.
Wouldn't it be Ask Not Jeff's Girlfriend?
This is girlfriend.
And she's on my side.
Yeah.
Just JD know you're cheating on him?
What?
What?
So we got some questions in the chat here. They want to know, first off, what's your name, Jeff's girlfriend?
What's my name?
Yeah, what's your name?
Is it Lakeisha?
Lauren.
Sounds
like a
what's up, Lauren?
Hanging out.
What? All right, I'm not asking that question when it comes to Silo What to Do.
What? Well, nice. I'm back.
Or it wasn't Silo What to Do, it was Rosili that was asking that.
I'm back.
Fucking Tony, put a
bullet. JD along with me.
Oh, put a bullet in this. I'm not fucking listening to that retard.
All right. Well, you're free to call in next time, Lauren. Love to have you again.
Just we'll leave the baggage at home.
We'll see you guys next
time.
I'm
not going to call in because she thinks...
All right.
All right.
All right, so curious for the people in the chat here. What's the ranking system go? There's JD, there's not JD, there is Jeff, there's not Jeff, and then now there's Lauren. So I got my my rankings when it comes to the five. Curious to see what everybody else does, too. So, let's move on. Why not? Let's talk about divas. Lauren just got me in the mood for some diva talk. So we had two different things that happened. There was Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch and Paige versus Charlotte. And the big story with the Sasha and Becky match was really it came down to Sasha beating Becky Lynch. And Michael Cole made a point to say, hey, maybe Sasha's number one contender now. Paige interrupts and says... she interrupts on the Tron, too. I thought that was a little bit weird, did you?
No. But then again, I've not been paying attention to this feud at all because I hope it dies of AIDS.
Well, she interrupts and she says that she's still number one contender because Charlotte had her arms under the ropes. Yeah, makes sense. You know, why not? Then we ended up getting our match later on between Paige and Charlotte, and they had a count out so they can drag the story out some more. And I gotta think, the first thing that popped my mind was triple threat seems likely, but do I really care that Paige should get another shot? And would you rather see Sasha versus Charlotte, or do you think a triple threat's the better way to go?
I'd almost wish that Paige would win the belt and feud with Sasha.
Huh.
Can we just take Charlotte out of the equation? I know they won't. I'm just saying it's the better option. I think Charlotte's being carried.
Carried? Not even just so much like the weaker one, that she's actually being carried.
I think she's being carried in her NXT matches too. Like, just think about all the matches she's had. The other girls have continued to display good matches. It's just her. She fucking blows. Like, Paige has had some decent matches with AJ.
Yeah, that's true.
Bailey can
with like Naomi or something like that last year.
Sasha and Bailey kept continuing having good matches in the absence of Charlotte. It's just Charlotte, fuck her.
Well, clearly they value Charlotte. I mean, that's no surprise. There's no debate about that. They look at Charlotte as like the diva that they want to promote and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's a good idea for them to do a triple threat if they do. In fact, do that, because who would really be like the next in line if they do Paige and then they knock out Sasha? Charlotte against who? Like, then we start getting into WrestleMania time, and you know, I don't know if there's anybody strong enough to challenge against her then. Like Natalya?
Maybe. Bailey.
Bailey, you think they'll just shoot her right up?
If they have to.
Huh. See, I'm thinking Bailey's still going to be the champion for NXT. I don't buy into the Nia Jax loss. I think I'm supposed to, and I'm not.
I think Bailey comes up sooner than later.
Hmm. Maybe. I mean, I guess we're going to figure that out in TakeOver London. Because really, if she's going to lose to anybody, Nia Jax makes sense. Right?
Yeah, and you know who just seems really out of place right now? Becky Lynch. What the fuck is she doing?
Poor Becky, man. She's much better than they give her credit.
Yeah, she's in this Four Horsewomen's thing, and she's the only one not to hold the NXT title. I almost feel like she has to do that.
Or at least, like, you know, be valued somewhat on the main roster. Like, they don't really have her doing jack shit. And this has been going on for weeks.
I almost wish she was the one that won the women's title, just so she could, like, one-up the rest of them.
Yeah, maybe, because it would have been something different, too. Like, Charlotte seemed like the obvious choice to win. Becky would have won, and it would have been like, wait, what? Becky? Huh.
But I also think you'd be stuck in the same situation. I don't think that Becky's one of the stronger performances that they have at the women. I think the two strongest you've got on that is Paige and Sasha Banks.
We got all the people in the chat trying to decipher what's going on with Lauren now. Lauren, you're making a good impression on this show. I'm looking at my notes here, and I had one... I had two major notes that went on top of this. Number one, we've said this before, Paige needs to shut the fuck up. I'm so sick and tired of this. She yelled, "This is my house," twice. Then she said, "This is my championship." And there was a point in the match where she was talking so loud that we could hear her giving instructions to Charlotte. What's going on with Paige?
Oh, you know,
she had to shout so much.
You bringing that up, them talking, I just want to point that Triple H did a fucking terrible job in the main segment at the start of the show. When they're separated and they're having that stare down, he goes, "All right, now step closer to me."
Oh, he said that? I didn't catch
that. Yeah.
Who did he say that to? Roman?
Roman, because they was having that stare down, then Roman stepped forwards.
He had to actually say, "Step closer to me."
Yeah, he like mimed "step closer to me" or something along those lines, and Roman stepped forward.
Oh, man. Step closer to me. Now give me a kiss.
Keep it tight for death.
Keep it tight for Triple H. My other big note, why does it matter that Paige does a submission hold on a fucking table? Michael Cole sells it. Oh no, not on the table.
Now she slightly can't get her footing.
Like, oh shit, better watch out, Tyler Breeze. The next match you have with Dolph Ziggler, he might put a fucking sleeper hold on the table on you. And then that'll really hurt.
Yeah, that's fucking dumb. I hate it when they do shit like that.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, at least when it comes to, like, with Randy Orton doing the RKO, even though we know that he clearly lands on his own back, it's still an impact thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fucking submission. Like,
I hated it when Jericho used to do the Walls of Jericho on there, too.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I haven't heard a single argument for it yet, other than, well, she wants to humiliate her because she's, you know, like, in a different spot to get attention. Well, the middle of the fucking ring is the main attention, so you can't even use that, but I don't know. This has happened before, and it's just as stupid as it was the first time. I couldn't care less. And now, we've already seen the Paige and Charlotte match. That wasn't really that great. So now I can't even sit there and go, well, the two of them are going to put on a good match anyway. That's my point of view. Disappointing.
Yeah, I probably just can't wait till this feud's done.
Yeah, agreed. Michael Cole was upset about her being on the table because he hits his workspace. That's a good one. So I've got a who said it for you, Wigo. See if you get this right.
Goldberg.
I'm sure he said it at some point.
Rick Steiner.
But as far as tonight, who said this? Message.
Was it one of the New Day?
Yes, it was the New Day.
Like, I didn't even remember them saying it. It just seems something they'd say.
New Day on fire for this. We had the first anniversary country music jamboree and tag team championship open challenge. Catch my breath after that one. Although we didn't actually get an open challenge match. Are you disappointed in that?
Sorry, my audio totally cut out then. What did you say?
Are you disappointed we didn't get an actual open challenge match? Because they canceled it?
Yeah, I was a little pissed off at that. I was actually hoping we got the Lucha Dragons versus the New Day. Even if it was a fuck finish, it still would have been fine.
Oh man, that promo though, I think that makes up for it, right?
It was okay. I enjoyed it, but the issue with the New Day is they do a lot of the same shit each week. Like, last night was special. That was fun. This one is okay.
See, I loved it, because for those who maybe didn't watch Monday Night Raw, what the New Day did was they cut a whole long promo about how much country music sucks. And they did the typical kind of stereotypical things. You know, Fido, come home, I need a new girlfriend. Like, that was a good line. Xavier Woods singing, Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be booty. That got a chuckle out of me. And I loved Big E flipping out. How many times are they about tractors? Stop it. Enough with the tractor. What do you think, though, about Kofi? He flat out said right there, this is me saying it, not my character. Country music sucks. Is that overboard? Breaking the fourth wall?
Oh, who gives a fuck at this point? Like, kayfabe's long since been dead. Like, who cares? We had fucking CM Punk go, this is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque. Or just like, fucking kayfabe, just long gone. Who cares? And honestly, it was funny, so.
Yeah, I laughed at that. I thought that was freaking great. Like, because now I'm just curious if Kofi Kingston backstage, like before they planned out all this kind of stuff, was just sitting there going, you know what else I hate about country music? And they're just like, damn it, Kofi. Like, what if he really hates it, you know?
CM Punk, like, actually did an interview recently where he said the biggest thing about to succeed in WWE is not giving a fuck. Well, I think you're seeing that a little bit with the New Day. The reason their stuff's gold is because there's no way they're scripted. They're just going out there and having fun.
I tell you one thing that I didn't think was gold. New Day runt.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, man. Especially for, like, the first time that we really hear Sin Cara and Kalisto talk. Could have thought of something better, man.
They should have just stuck with New Day sucks.
That's what I was thinking that they were going to do. Just as simple as it could be. Kalisto gets on the mic and says, you know, I don't think it's really New Day rocks. I think it's more New Day sucks. And just, you know, it's simple. New Day runts. I mean, they're smaller than the New Day. So are you going to call them a runt? Wasn't that the whole point of what New Day was saying the other day, where they said that the Lucha Dragons are at the kiddie table?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's the opposite. I mean, that's like, you know, Neville talking to Mark Henry and being like, oh, little Mark Henry. Like, we'll get into that in a minute. But as much as they really didn't get much of a huge reaction for New Day runs, I was really saying in the chat, New Day runs is what they were saying.
I thought that's what you said.
I thought they said runt.
No, like, they said runs. Runt.
Oh, that makes a hell of a lot more sense.
Yes, that's right. Terrible.
Well, then I'm a total idiot then. Still, not that great. New Day runs. Not feeling that one.
Yeah, New Day Soaks. Higher up. New Day Soaks would have worked a lot better.
Yeah. Usos got a big pop, though. Probably one of the biggest pops of the night.
Yeah, and that was me just going,
Really? Stokes is not a big one, the Usos?
They're done with the Usos during their last fucking run with the company anyway. Like, their last big push, I was just like, eh. You know what would have helped? If they didn't beat the New Age Outlaws till WrestleMania. That would have helped.
You're really harping on that New Day, and not New Day, the New Age Outlaw thing, right? The New Day Outlaws.
Was that 2 years ago, though?
It feels like it was like 5.
Yeah, well, I think you can pretty much like take it back to that specific moment.
Hey, we got 412 in the chat. Or not in the chat, in the soundboard. Didn't notice that all this time. Let's take him one. 412, what's up, JD?
Jared!
Oh, that was disappointing. All right. He's shy. I don't know, maybe he's trying to find a girlfriend to join him on the chat. That'll take a while, so we're going to move on. I mentioned before, Mark Henry versus Neville was another match that we had going on here. Does this rehabilitate Neville after that loss last night, beating somebody like Mark Henry?
I don't think the loss hurt him last night. I just thought it was dumb.
See, I got to argue that it hurt him.
Who the fuck ever goes, well, he's had a great career, but that loss in that 5-on-5 Survivor Series match really hurt him.
Well, that's not going to be like the thing that kills him, but it doesn't help him in the slightest bit. And if anybody was going to look strong or something like that, Neville could have been somebody that got that push. And instead, Neville's one of the only people who loses. Like, come on.
Neville should have been like a sole survivor in that match. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, I don't think it like changed his positioning on the card at all. But it made no sense to do it, especially how they followed it up on Raw tonight.
Now, one thing I liked about this, I'm curious if you thought maybe this was just kind of stupid or whatever, but Mark Henry playing the babyface role, like, you know, keeping that going and stuff, but he went out of his way to, like, he picked up Neville and he was just like, you know, get back up, kid, whatever. Then when he lost the match, he's pissed that he lost because, you know, he obviously he wants to win. And then gives him a handshake and says, you're going to be good, kid, you're going to be good, or you're going to be great, or, you know, nice job, whatever it was, I don't know. An endorsement from Mark Henry. Worth something?
I think Mark's turning heel in the near future. I think he's going to lose to a lot of up-and-comers and snap.
Just go back to Hall of Pain?
Something, yeah, and I think that's the best scenario for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he hangs it up soon.
He did say he wasn't going to be wrestling that much longer.
He's probably going to have one big last heel run, and to be quite honest, if you're going to do that, wouldn't now be the best time?
Probably, because they really need the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been cool with him being the new champ instead of Sheamus.
Yeah, but you couldn't have done it. Like, then that tournament, he was way too far gone. He needs he's a guy that needs rehabilitating.
Well, he could have, if they would have thought of something like that. I mean, clearly that's not what they wanted to do, so it doesn't really matter. But, like, if they wanted to do something like that, they could have had him go through a bunch of people in the tournament and, like, just, you know, demolish them. Like, first round, he beats the shit out of, like, Ryback. Second round, he beats, Kevin Owens, something like that. Like, I mean, I wouldn't want him to demolish those people, specifically because I like the two of them. But, you know, he could have done a good run there, I think. I don't think it's too hard to build Mark Henry up, actually. Just give him, like, one solid win over somebody.
Can you just do that retirement speech again? That was really cool.
Just have the exact same one, and John Cena comes back, and he just gets him again. He's like, have a lot left in the tank.
He's like, oh, God damn it, Mark. Every damn time.
There's just, like, this running gag that they have where, like, you know, if they go out to, like, eat, he's like, nah, it's all right, I got the bill. And then he skips out and leaves John Cena at the table, and he's like, ah, damn it, I always believe you. Oh, man. I want to see that character now, Mark Henry, who is able to just get one over on John Cena constantly. let's see what else we had here. I mentioned Ryback. I want to jump around a little bit here. Ryback, no selling a guitar shot from Heath Slater. Good, bad? What do you think?
The segment was very unnecessary. This is one of those ones where I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, Heath, you're relevant tonight. Right, go out there. Heat the crowd. Ryback's going to kill you. Like, One of the biggest things sticking out to me tonight is there's no feuds.
A lot of people don't have a feud. I mean, there are some that clearly that's going to happen at TLC. Like, they put forth, like, the U.S. title thing. They've got Goldust and Stardust and stuff. But Ryback, he's left without a feud.
I'm surprised that fucking Heath didn't say slap nuts tonight.
Well, all right. You want to rank some different ones here? How do you rank them? Heath Slater, Jeff Jarrett, Honky Tonk Man.
All right. Best, Heath Slater. Middle, Jeff Jarrett. Worst, Honky Tonk Man.
Really? Slater gets best?
Yeah, Jarrett fucking sucks.
I'd go Jarrett, Slater, Honky Tonk Man, I think.
That's going to be an interesting one from Mike if he was here, because he hates Honky Tonk Man and he hates Jeff Jarrett.
Well, it would be probably Slater number one, and then the hell with the other two, I guess. I don't know. Tell us in the chat, what do you guys think? Slater, Honky Tonk Man, and Jeff Jarrett. Who ranks 1, 2, 3?
Okay, here's what I'll say about this. Jeff Jarrett was a guy that got gifted a lot of opportunities. I don't think he had the talent to be where he was.
Fair enough. He's... What about Honky Tonk Man, though? Talented enough to get the IC title to begin with? Let alone the, you know, longest reign?
He says he's cool, he's cocky and bad. He's right about the bad part.
I'm cool, I'm cocky. I'm pretty damn awful.
Yeah, you probably should book me.
APM wants a little repeat of the question. It was, number one, we got Honky Tonk Man, 2, Heath Slater, 3, Jeff Jarrett, who ranks where? And yes, we're also ranking Lauren, JD, not JD, Jeff, and not Jeff. And any other, what was the other one? Detective Jeff or James Miller, whatever it was. I don't know. Department of Headquarters guy.
Joke's dying.
Goldust and the Primetime Players faced off against Stardust and the Ascension. Goldust and PTP win. Should they push Titus on his own, or is it good enough that Darren Young's back and the PTP are back together?
I think I said that he needs to be released last night, and I still stand by that. I don't see anything in Titus O'Neil.
Do you see anything in a potential Goldust and Stardust TLC match? Is that worth a spot?
Based off their last match? Fucking hell no.
Not even on the pre-show?
Okay. I can do a pre-show match. You know what? I'll give him a chance to do a better match. But I say give him one more shot, and if they can't pull it out, just abort that feud altogether. But as far as Titus O'Neil and Darren Young goes, there was a time that they were over. There was a time that their act was good, and they didn't pull the trigger. Now I don't care.
Simon Doom says, number one is Honky Tonk Man, 2 is Heath Slater, 3 is Lauren, 4 is Jarrett, and then 5 is Jeff. So, one of the final things that we had tonight, which I was expecting to come earlier on the show, and I'm surprised they waited so long for that, was the State of Mexamerica address, where the borders are closed forever. Subculture's not taking anybody in anymore. You sad about that?
This segment made me sad.
Not even the Zeb Coulter grinder thing got a pop out of you?
I zoned out of this segment repeatedly. And I'm like, oh, look, it's that time of year again. Jack Swagger gets TV time.
Well, here's what's weird about the Jack Swagger thing. A couple weeks ago, they did the obvious thing of having Jack Swagger come out and start, like, you know, kind of picking a fight with the whole thing. Then they just dropped it the next week. He didn't compete at all at Survivor Series. Now they're picking it back up again. And I got to imagine part of this is the ISIS thing.
I don't know.
You don't think they're going to like jump on the bandwagon of having the patriotism?
Maybe, maybe not. I just fucking hate this segment. I hate this pairing of Alberto Del Rio and Zeb. And people said, just give it a chance. You don't know where it's going. Well, I don't think they know where it's fucking going. There's no reason that those two should be together, and it makes no sense.
I was hoping that maybe there would be some kind of a stable that would come out of that, but it looks like now they're killing it. And really, if it's just the two of them, I'm confused too. Like, Del Rio can talk enough that he doesn't need somebody to talk for him. And Coulter is starting to get a little weird with it. Like, I'm not feeling him as much as I used to. And I think it's because he's not feeling it, you know? Like, he was real into American pride and stuff, you know? Like, he's fought in a couple wars and stuff. I think it was, what, Vietnam and Korea or something like that? Maybe it's just Vietnam, or maybe I'm getting my facts completely all messed up or something. But, you know, I can feel that he bought what he was saying before. I can't anymore with this Mex America stuff.
It feels so forced. Like, there's nothing about this feud that just feels right. It just feels awkward. Every segment, awkward.
Hmm. We got a little question here. Where exactly is the geographical location of Mexamerica? Fuck if I know. Well, we got a good little thing from APM here. Did they sing the national anthem Home Depot of the Brave? That's terrible. Look out for that on the next outro. Silent Wood Doom actually brings it up. He says, can we discuss the historical moment that happened during this segment? A man in the crowd was the first ever human to fail to incite a USA chant. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't. What did he say? No.
Somebody tried to get a USA chant. It didn't go.
Good.
Good. Yeah, fuck that guy for not getting a USA chant. Well, that guy's listening right now. He's going, what? I like America. So I got one more question when it comes to Jack Swagger. He's in the finals of the Madden tournament that they're doing on Up, Up, Down, Down. It's going to be him and Seth Rollins. Who do you want to win?
The Loch Ness Monster.
Could happen.
Seriously, I could not give less of a fuck.
Who do you like better? Do you like Swagger as a human being or Rollins as a human being?
Well, Rollins sounds like a fucking asshole that cheats on people. And Jack Swagger's a guy that got a DUI and hurt people. So I'm not really left with...
Champ in Oklahoma. You got to pick one of them. Who's good in there? I was rooting for The Miz, but The Miz just got knocked out. So it's a shame. No more moneymaker.
Which dick do I go with? Well, I've seen one of their dicks. I'll go with Seth. Just because fucking Swagger just looks awkward.
The last thing that I have to bring up tonight as far as the matches go, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler against Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze. Babyfaces win here. This was really quick to me. Was it quick to you?
It seemed like it should have been given more time. And what I hate about this entire match is that we're not getting any new feuds. They've decided they're going to go with Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, and I can't really argue with that one. I actually like that as an IC title match. It also adds to the prestige. Because Ambrose is a guy you could argue who's a main eventer. But as far as Tyler Breeze and Dolph Ziggler, I don't give a fuck.
Just not into it at all?
Not into it at all. And I think it's a lot to do with I'm not into Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I mean, if one half the people is somebody that you're not into.
You know what didn't help? His fucking outfit at Survivor Series.
He was very proud of it, too. He was tweeting about like how cool his outfit's going to look. Not my thing, but, yeah.
He's Jesus Christ, he's got fucking skinny-ass legs.
Did not notice.
I don't know if it's just the pants, but he looked awkward as shit. He needs to drop that look. Like, seriously, the Spirit Squad look was doing better for him.
No, you can't say that. Come on.
No? Like, actually, I will say short-haired Dolph Ziggler looked better.
Really? Even when he had that awkward phase with Vicky Guerrero and he just looked like a
regular. He looks like an absolute doucher right now. He looks like he could have been in that fucking shitty fucking tag team that they was the Heartbreakers or something on Raw. He looks like he could be right in that. Fucking awful.
Hmm. Poor Dolph. What do you think about Ambrose, though? Is it like justified that he goes back to the mid-card? He just fought for the world title.
I think it's a placeholder until they decide to pull the trigger on him. I really think he's winning the Rumble. But that might just be me being really hopeful.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe if they give him, like, that feud with Kevin Owens and he doesn't win the IC belt, maybe it's sort of like that little sort of humbling before the push sort of thing. Like, typically with the Royal Rumble, they either build somebody up a whole lot or they make it seem like they can't win. So, Ambrose has a shot in both ways, you know? Guess we'll have to find out come January. So, usual kind of stuff do we have here? I had a tap out plan, but Drew decided that he didn't want to do this tonight. So, damn it, Drew. That was going to be to name as many people as you can who have won the Money in the Bank. So since we can't actually do Tap Out itself, I'm curious, Wago, how many people off the top of your head can you name who have won Money in the Bank?
All right, so the first one was Edge, then it was Rob Van Dam, Mr. Anderson. We've also had Edge again. there was CM Punk. There was Kane. There was Sheamus. There was Damian Sandow. There was The Miz. There was Randy Orton. And...
still got a couple more people here.
And I bet I'm missing someone that's really fucking obvious, too.
Yeah, you're missing some really obvious people.
Did I get, like, all the awkward ones?
You got most of the awkward ones. There's one that is... you might just totally forget about him. That one that I'm thinking, by the way,
Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
I just got it.
But you're missing five other people.
Alberto. No, Dolph Ziggler.
Alberto and Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, shit, they both were.
Yeah. So you got three. You got three more left. Well, technically four more because CM Punk won another time, but you said Punk. So yeah. Three more people.
Punk won 2 years in a row, I think. Who else got an undeserving title shot?
Not undeserving necessarily, but there are three people that you really should have realized by now.
John Cena.
You're gonna smack yourself in the head for one of them. Actually, probably both.
I said The Miz.
Give up? Tapping out?
I'll tap out.
Daniel Bryan?
Ah, oh, fuck!
And Seth Rollins!
Oh, shit!
The most recent one other than Sheamus. Yeah, all those people. Money in the Bank winners. So, Wago, you win. Yay! Because Drew got none.
So, next time Drew's on, he has to read the plugs in any way I want, right?
Yep.
Sweet.
You heard it, folks. And you have a whole week to figure out how Drew should say these plugs. So start thinking of a lot of crazy stuff.
If you got any suggestions, post them in the Megamaniacs. Just go to facebook.com/group/TheMegamaniacs.
Very much. So commercials are something we like to do a little bit here. I wrote down my favorite commercial of the night and my least favorite commercial of the night. Tex-Mex is my favorite commercial of the night. Random thing that happened on Monday Night Raw. JBL, El Torito, and Mark Henry. What do you think about that segment?
I was just like, the fuck? So, fucking... it was like, I wanted to know how Michael Cole knew about Mark Henry's dream.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like, I fucking hate when they do stuff like that. It makes no sense. Like, that driven me crazy more than the actual segment just being off the tits. So I don't know what the hell happened tonight.
Off the tits.
Yeah, I was like, fucking, you've got Torito and JBL arguing about what food they should get. And then Mark Henry just has a dream about El Torito dressed up like JBL. The fuck?
I wouldn't know the writer that pitched this whole segment. Like, they're just kind of like, we need it.
You know Vince approved it, too. He's like, that's right. Fucking great.
We've been looking for a way to get Torito back on screen. Tex-Mex. That's the way. Ridiculous. I thought it was funny, though. I mean, I kind of laughed. But my least favorite commercial, I don't know if you're getting this in your area and if all the people in the chat and all the people listening are, too, but I am sick and tired of this fucking Peter Pan Geico commercial.
I fucking hate it, too. You hit the nail on the head.
Oh, the thing that bugs me the most about it, the kid sings the wrong lyrics, and nobody did a fact check. He says, "You make me feel so spring has sprung." Doesn't make any sense. And I've listened to it over and over again, because this is one of the only commercials that ever shows up on anything I ever watch. And it gets under my skin every single time. No more. No more fucking bad Geico Peter Pan commercials. Go back to the good ones. Because they're good, usually. Geico has some good people to work on those. This one's terrible. Fuck you, Geico. Fuck you to hell. So, that's the last thing that we need to cover when it comes to that stuff, but we do need to get into our good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're going to do that right now. Alrighty, guys, if you've listened to us before, you should know what the good, bad, and the ugly is. But if you don't, well, it's pretty simple. Something that's good, something that's bad, and something that's really just so bad, we have to constitute it as ugly. So, Wago, what do you got? Who's your good? What's your bad? What's your ugly?
Alright, so for my good, I have to give it to... Fuck, this is a hard one. There wasn't much good in this show, was there? Nope, not thinking of any good... Nah, nothing gets the good tonight.
Nothing gets the good. Wow.
There was nothing that stood out where I'm like, ah, that was really fun. Like, if you want to, like, give you a throwaway one, which really doesn't count, the fact that some of the mid-carders got to showcase themselves tonight. But no one was really outstanding. As far as the bed goes, I'm going to have to give it to the Divas. Mainly for that stupid submission on an announce table. It doesn't make it any more dangerous. And for the ugly... Hope you get well soon, Mike. Sucks that you can't be here.
Is it the surgery's ugly?
Yeah.
It's all those pictures, huh? Before I get into mine, I'm going to read a couple that we just had thrown out in the chat room. APM says, the good, Lauren trying to be Jeff's girlfriend. Bad, Jeff being Jeff. And the ugly, Jeff's other girlfriend. Oh, you saw pictures?
Well done.
Silent of Doom says, the good was the jamboree, the bad was Paige's interruption to show her footage. That shirt, though, I agree about that one. And the ugly, the incredible stupidity of Paige keeping Charlotte out of the ring to be counted out. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it's a title match. You can't win through a count out. So, my good, the country music stuff. I love that New Day earned even more brownie points because I really hate country music, so the fact that they do too, awesome. I like you guys even more now. My bad. Sheamus looks blah. I was really hoping that I would be proven wrong and that this something crazy could have happened on this show where maybe like I would have had to eat my words and say that I can really get into a Sheamus title reign or something like that. Very first promo, he comes out there, it's the same damn Sheamus we've seen. Nothing's changed.
The belt's doing more for Sheamus than Sheamus is doing for the belt, and that's a problem.
Right. And now at the end of the beatdown, he looks like he can't possibly beat Roman Reigns, which means one of two things. Either he loses to Roman Reigns, and this was all just for shock value. Or number two, which I think is more likely to happen... He beats Roman Reigns through interference, and that means that it reiterates the point that he's not a strong champion. And we have a weak champion going into the Royal Rumble, which goes into the weak stuff going into WrestleMania. And shit, I don't want WrestleMania to be about a weak champion who needs to lose to a babyface. I want a strong champion who can get overtaken by a babyface, and then that guy can look strong, not just who happens to beat the douche who cashed in.
Would you agree, like, what we said yesterday, that he needed a clean house in his Survivor Series match? Like, he'd look so much more impressive if he just, like, cleaned house on his own.
Yeah, he really could have used that. If he would have beaten the three different other people, maybe even four of the other people.
I say he could have got, like, just cleared at the end. Like, everyone on his team got eliminated and he just won the whole match. That would have made him look fucking super strong.
Mm-hmm. And that would have bought into him beating Roman Reigns a lot more.
And he could have had his speech about how he fucking got his shit together and now he's the fucking face of the company.
Right. Triple H could have also boosted him up and been like, not only did he win the world title last night, he was a sole survivor of his team. He is Survivor Series, you know?
And Triple H could have been that guy that was giving him the pep talks like he was doing to Seth Rollins. Like, that was the coolest thing about his and Seth's relationship. He used to give Seth some shitty situations. But he'd always reinforce that he had the ability to, like, prosper in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it was always, you need to do what you need to do to win because you're the champ, you're the man, you can do it, we believe in you. And then Seth Rollins would have more of a reason to tout that he's the man, because he looked strong half the time. The other time he didn't look strong, Triple H pointed it out and said, you gotta do something to look strong, and then he fucking did.
And that would have worked perfectly with Sheamus. It's like, yo, you've been having a shitty run. Your money in the bank. You did that. Now you can go out and do this.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just disappointed. I'm hoping that maybe they change things up a little bit, but I don't have any faith that they really will. So that's my bad. And my ugly, I mean, we're talking about the weird ways that they booked this. General stupid booking based off of Survivor Series, you know, versus Raw tonight anyway. Like, Neville loses at Survivor Series and then beats Mark Henry. If you want him to look strong, don't make him lose at Survivor Series. He didn't need to. Like, they weren't, like, pushed up against a corner kind of a thing. The Paige stuff, forgetting about Jack Swagger. I mean, I got to give the ugly to just the creative team and their poor planning skills. It's a shame. 20 more minutes, man. All you got to do is think about some other alternatives. It solves so many problems. So, I think that's it for the November 23rd episode. Kind of talked about everything, got all that stuff checked off and everything like that. So, really all we need to do is plugs, and since we don't have that weird stuff going on, we gotta wait until Drew can do that next week. Wago, any plugs you want to throw out there?
Well, first off, Tony, make sure you check out that picture of Jeff, the Silent Wind of Doom, just posted in the chat. It's fucking hilarious. It's with Buff Bagwell, too.
Oh, okay, I gotta see this.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction while we're on the air for this.
Let's see here. Huh.
Dirt!
that just hurts my soul.
Wazili, which one is Buff Bagwell? All right, so for my plugs, on the Twitter, it is Stephen Wago, Stephen spelt with a P-H. StephenWago.com will take you to my Tumblr, and if you want to find me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/StephenWago. If you need to find me, it's Stephen Wago.
Very convenient. All those in one line. So for the people that can't be here, go check out Sean's stuff at Happy Pope Gaming Productions, his Premier Pals podcast, which is on, I think, episode 7 or 8, something like that. Go back and check out the ones you haven't if you are interested in the football type of stuff. For Drew's stuff, Mick Freakin' Duncan, where you can see what he does on YouTube, which is really just liking videos and stuff like that. And for Payton's stuff, obviously go to keepingkayfabe.com, go to WWEFantasyLeague.com to check out what's happening with the Fantasy League. We're going to give you more information about that on tomorrow night's Smack Talk, because you never know what's going to happen now that we have everything switching up and we got a new champion and we got some people injured and stuff. Might be a whole lot of trades. I don't know. From my side of things, smarkoutmoment.com, fanboysanonymous.com, and always make sure that if you are interested in the All Talk Show that you follow our Facebook and Twitter, because you never know when they are going to pop up. And thanks to all those who joined us live, despite, you know, how some of those go. Especially to Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you to everybody who listened to us on the archive platforms as well. Make sure you guys subscribe to us and give us a thumbs up on YouTube and share us on social media to all your friends. And don't forget to leave your comments below. Tell us what you thought of tonight's show, both the Monday Night Raw post show and on Monday Night Raw itself. And if you want to throw some straggling thoughts about Survivor Series, toss them in there too. Don't forget to stay tuned to smarkoutmoment.com for all things happening there, which includes the next episode of Smack Talk, and that's going to be recording tomorrow night, as I mentioned before, and featuring your mailbag questions that you guys submitted for November. So if you have any more questions you want to throw out to us, you only got a little bit of time, but you still got a little bit of time. But for now, we got to go. So for Stephen Wago and all the members of the team that couldn't be here tonight, get well, Mike Payton. I'm Tony Mango. See you next time, everybody.